Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm really thankful and privileged to be here in front of you. And we're also really thankful that recently your Legacy Fund supported our Bible school there in Estonia that I am responsible of. And I'm truly thankful that people here in America feel that that's also their duty to help Christians on the other side of the world to do mission work. And we really need help. And that's really a blessing to us to experience this kind of fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. So giving you or reminding, for some of you, reminding where Estonia is located, and for some of you who don't know where Estonia is located, so there is a map. We are not very far from Ukraine as well. It's about 1,000 miles to Ukraine, and Estonians really try to do everything to help Ukraine people. So we don't have any fighting there, but we know what it means to be under a Soviet occupation, and we don't want anyone to experience that. And that's why we really help them. So, but now about my sermon. So first of all, I'm sharing with you one story. There lived a man who decided to devote whole his life to God. He started his service as a pastor being only 23 years old. God gave him enormous amount of energy and also blessed him with many gifts. He was a great preacher, talented writer and painter. He was very good in track and field, spoke and read in several languages. He was also very popular among young people. And he became a pastor of one of the largest congregations in the country. There were 30,000 members. People loved him. God blessed him with a wife who served faithfully by his side. And God gave them 3 children. This is really much to be grateful for and to be happy and satisfied. Placing this story in American context, we could say that this is a description of a successful and beloved megachurch pastor who is well known and honored across the country. And it is quite easy to be thankful for successful life, but it's quite hard to be thankful for hardships, persecution, and sufferings. Do you think that good life should be granted to all of us? I'm sure we would like to see that happen, but we know also that this is not a reality. Real life is very variable. But although this life is very variable, we know for sure that Jesus Christ died for all of us. Not only for successful and nice-looking people. And a great miracle is that Jesus also died for those people who have never prayed, never opened the Bible, and never entered the church door. That seems maybe unbelievable, but this is the expression of God's love. So you may ask, what love has to do with sufferings and hard life? Love should not be expressed in this way. But what does St. Paul say about that? In this Roman text that you heard, he writes there that, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. When you experience sufferings, isn't it hope that gives you strength to move forward and look to the future? I guess it is, and I'm quite convinced in that. So you may wondering that why I share this story, but in the beginning. But this story is about my grandfather that I shared to you. There is my grandfather's family. If you go back one slide, okay. And but his life story didn't continue in such a nice way as I described. 1940s, he was ordained already in 1929, so he was pastoring during World War II. And 1940 exactly, Estonia was occupied by Russia. And 1948, my grandfather was imprisoned by Soviet authorities because he was a pastor. He was sent to a slave labor camp in Siberia for almost 8 years. And after he was arrested, the rest of his family was hunted. They flee their home and they were separated from each other. They flee because otherwise they would have been deported to Siberia as well, as tens of thousands of Estonians were, just captured from their homes at night and taken with animal train cars to Siberia. And many of them never returned, or even most of them never returned. And my father, being only 13 years old, started a life that with his mother, he hid himself 6 years in the forest, and 4 years of that time they lived in the bunker underground. Almost 4 years of that time. This is not the same bunker, but just a picture to give you imagination how bunker underground looks like. And living in these kind of circumstances, just because he was a pastor kid. So my grandfather didn't know whether he's able to see his family again, whether he's able to return to his homeland, but he knew that there isn't any hopeless situation in our lives if we trust our Lord. And he returned from Siberia. And his family also survived through great sufferings. And my father, you may think that if you are a teenager and you experience these kind of sufferings because your father is a pastor, you will run away as far as possible from God. He didn't do that. And he's sharing that when they had most difficult moments there, and they didn't know whether they see tomorrow, because there were situations where he was almost dying, there wasn't possible to get any medical help, then they started to sing praise songs to the Lord. Praising the Lord for those thorns that wound your body, pressing your body, praising the Lord for that. And this is something special about Christians, that we can praise the Lord for sufferings. And for them, that gave energy, that gave a hope for the future to go on. And when my grandfather returned from prison, he gathered his family again and he continued to serve as a pastor for 32 more years until he died. 2 weeks before he died, he was still on the pulpit. And as I said, he was pastoring before World War II, before he was arrested, in a congregation with 30,000 members. That was like a cathedral, this church. And every Sunday, packed up with people. Now, when he returned, he was not able to go back to this big church, and of course there wasn't any too many people anymore in this church. But he was, for him was given one of the smallest rural congregation. But he didn't say, I am not doing this because there is too few people. But he continued to serve until he died, when he had most of the times maybe only 5-10 people in the church. He had even sermon for empty church, but he never used that because at least his wife was present. And my father became pastor as well. Later, my two older brothers became pastors. I am a pastor. And this tall guy there, his son is my nephew, son of my brother. He is my closest co-worker in this mission work that I'm coordinating. And he has a plan to go to seminary as well. Then he's a fourth generation of pastors in our family. And this is something special to me as well. Talking about hope and hopelessness, I want to open this topic with a story from my grandfather's book that he wrote about his experiences after he returned from Siberia. I have those books here with me, and after the service, you are able to get them. But there was a German soldier in the prison as well, who my grandfather met. But this German prisoner was really hopeless, miserable, and didn't see any future and any hope. And my grandfather met him, and then he's writing. I ask if he's a Christian. He replies, yes. But as Christians, we must know that hopelessness has no place in our program, I tell him. How can that be? The German protests. Our outlook is so hopeless, death will be my only escape, the miserable man cries. Do you know the story of Jesus and his disciple on the stormy lake in Nazareth, I ask him. Of course I do, he replies. Then you know what he said to his fearful friends when they cried, Teacher, rise, we are doomed. He asked them, where is your faith? Yes, he asked them that, I affirm. And do you know why he asked them that? The German becomes thoughtful. He had a reason for asking them that question. In their fear of death, they had lost their faith in their teacher. They saw nothing else but the storm, and they were frightened by the waves crashing over the boat. But they did not know Jesus well enough to have enough faith to follow him even into death. To go with him into death is not the same as to perish. If they had drowned in the lake along with Jesus, they would not have perished. There is no situation into which we cannot go with Christ. If we have faith in him, we will not perish, even if we should die. And that is why hopelessness has no place in our program. There is many stories like this, very encouraging stories for Christians who go through trials and the sufferings. And this is not dark book. This is funny book. That's right. You can open that late night as well before you go to sleep. You will get good sleep. But here I have. You can there when you go out from the sanctuary, books are there, and you are able to get for free will offerings just this book. This is available in Amazon as well, paperback, and on our website, ebook. And also there is book study guide made for this. So if you are willing to run a book study group, so you are welcome to use this book as well. So, but isn't that really kind of strange that about these Christians, that if they even kind of like gonna die, they still have a smile on their face and hope to the better future. And based on these experiences that my grandparents and parents have had in their lives, I can truly say that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. and hope does not put us to shame. Actually, sometimes we need to go through trials, and we need to suffer in order to understand and experience God's mercy and love. And in these circumstances, we feel especially what is the real mercy and love of God. I can say that sufferings doesn't mean that we are abandoned by the Lord. If I'm thinking about these sufferings that my grandfather and father experienced, then I know it was hard to endure in these circumstances. But today, I can say why they were suffering. Why was it necessary to walk this path? Through these sufferings, their faith became so strong that they were fearless. And to preach God's word under the Soviet atheistic regime, you had to be fearless. We were occupied 50 years, from 1940 till 1991. In 1991, we regained our independence. And my father, Enoch, who is 88 and still serving two congregations with my mother, they have done that together 60 years. He established a Christian college called Tartu Academy of Theology in 1992. And he understood that now we have an opportunity to train pastors, pastoral caregivers, religion teachers for schools, Christian youth workers, Christian media workers, and other specialists for church. Because during 50 years, that was prohibited. And he used that opportunity. This was, at its time, a great leap of faith to establish this kind of college. But the school has been working over 30 years for now. And our mission is quite simple. Proclaim the word of God in Estonia, the country which really suffered for 50 years under Soviet occupation and is considered to be one of the most secular countries in the world. The background to all of this is that before World War II, in the 1930s, 98% of Estonians were Christians. And in the beginning of 1980s, barely 5% remained. Today, we are still struggling around 10% of Christians in our country. And Soviet authorities tried to do everything to wipe out Christianity from Estonia. And because of that, people were afraid to confess their faith. But those people who had suffered because of their faith and who kept this conviction, if we have faith in Jesus, we will not perish, even if we should die. They kept the flame of faith alive. And I have a privilege to continue this work. If you want to know more, so you can take your telephone and make a picture of this QR code, but it's possible to get also these handouts there. But it's interesting that over the last years, I have heard more and more from my American friends that things are getting quite hopeless in the U.S. They are even afraid and desperate in some cases. And I want to encourage you, if you experience some hardships in your lives, maybe because of you are a Christian, then that doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It seems to me that sometimes sufferings are even more meaningful in our lives than good and joyful experiences. God knows us, and He is present, and He is leading our lives. God demonstrates His love for us through this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we opened our hearts to the Lord, was His heart open to us. Amen.